Good morning, everybody. Morning. It's always so fun to have like a million good mornings come back at you. My name's Renee, like Sean was saying earlier. I get the chance to work with the youth here at WMB, which is super awesome. Hello, Catherine, Lauren, Faith, Jerry. I know a lot of you are downstairs helping out, but it's good to see you all. Part of the stuff we've been doing as youth this summer, climbing trees in the parking lot, not climbing the church, I put a stop to that, laser tag in the basement, and a lot of studying Psalms, actually. We've been learning about Psalms, we've been writing our own Psalms. One youth group, like group of youth, wrote a Psalm about how grateful they were for Big Macs. This is my job. You guys pay me to do this. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So that's what we've been doing downstairs or in the youth areas. But up here, we've been learning about these rhythms of the holy life, right? These spiritual disciplines, these ways that we interact with and get to know God. And normally, a series like this would be kind of stressful for me because, you know, you come on a Sunday morning, you're like, what? Another spiritual discipline to learn? I was bad at the last three we were looking at. How am I going to incorporate this next one into my life as well? Too much. It's summer. But I think Jeff really blessed us at the beginning of this series with his very contemporary illustration of the Ed Sullivan Show and the plate spinner and the guy that was entertainment, plates on sticks. But I think it was really helpful because if we approach these spiritual disciplines, these rhythms, as tasks to accomplish, as things to achieve, as elements to perfect, we can't keep those plates going. They are gonna come crashing down and it's gonna be noisy and messy and not good for anyone. But when we approach these disciplines as holy rhythms, as just enjoyable elements of our life with Jesus, the pressure is released, and we can just spend time with him without this burden of performance or perfection. So I really hope that will be our posture as we come into another discipline that I will introduce this morning, which is Sabbath. So when you are reading through the Ten Commandments and you get to number four, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, what comes into your mind? Do you think like, oh, I go to church most Sundays? Check, another commandment I don't have to worry about, like thou shalt not kill. Perfect. Or maybe you think, oh yeah, Sabbath, that's that thing that is really important to Jewish people, but it's something we don't have to worry about necessarily. It's like eating kosher. Jesus came, we don't have to worry about that anymore. We're fine. Or maybe you think, what is Sabbath? Because it's not necessarily a word we throw around a ton these days here at the church. Depending on your background, you may have had different rules surrounding the holy day, Sunday, or church days, or any sort of things like that. My mom likes to tell the story of growing up, her church was all a flutter because the young adults decided to play football after the service. Physical activity on the Lord's Day was just scandalous. No one knew what to do. Based on our own Sunday soccer ministry, I don't think WMB falls quite into that world. So if that's not the issue of Sabbath, what is Sabbath? What do we do with it? How do we follow it? What's it supposed to be? I'm gonna be upfront with you. I've spent a lot of time thinking about this message because I've been kind of worried about it, not gonna lie. I could easily and happily go into detail about the beauty of Sabbath, about the importance of Sabbath, about how it is this beautiful gift that God has given us, rest for our souls, our bodies, our minds. It's amazing. It's wonderful. I could go on and on. And you would all sit there smiling and nodding and thinking, yeah, amen. That sounds beautiful. I like that. Would be nice. No way I have time. Absolutely not. Nobody has time for Sabbath. Are you kidding me? It's 2023. You're raising toddlers. You're working two jobs to pay rent. You're caring for an ailing parent. You're volunteering here at church. No one has time to Sabbath. No one has time to take off and just rest for a whole day with God? No. But I'm up here to tell you that you can Sabbath. I feel like a 90s infomercial, microphone and everything. You can Sabbath. It is possible in 2023. But like, you can Sabbath asterisk. You can Sabbath, yes, but not if it's just something you try and fit into your calendar. Not if it's something you have to fight hard to make happen on your own strength. That's not how you can Sabbath. But like anything else we've been learning about this summer, you can Sabbath with a lot of prayer, a lot of surrender to God, and a lot of dependence on the Holy Spirit. With that, we can Sabbath. So it's my earnest hope and prayer this morning that as we spend some time figuring out what Sabbath is and why Sabbath is important, I hope we also come to a place where we believe Sabbath to be possible. And I hope to leave you with a couple tips and tricks for Sabbathing yourself in your own life. Let's invite God into that. Let's ask him for some hope and some possibility for Sabbath. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful. Lord, we are so grateful that the spiritual life isn't about us doing it perfectly or us doing it for you. These rhythms, this spiritual life you have called us to, is about being with you. It's about joining you in the work you're already doing. So God, I ask that we would all join you today in this desire for Sabbath, in this desire for holy rest, for time spent with you and time focused on you. Come, Lord Jesus, and give us hope for today. Let's give us hope for Sabbath. In your name we pray, amen. Our story from Scripture Day comes from us, it's Mark 2. I don't have the sentence. It's Mark 2, so if you want to flip there to the second chapter of Mark, let's see what Jesus and those disciples are getting up to. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But, problem. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." You see, as the disciples were picking that grain, they were technically harvesting, which was technically farming, which was technically working on the Sabbath, which was a big no-no. Pretty much every conversation Jesus has about the Sabbath during his time on earth follows this pattern. Jesus or the disciples does something that's technically against the Sabbath. The Pharisees freak out, and Jesus tries to bring some perspective into the situation. In a lot of ways, a message on Sabbath is like the ultimate anti-legalism talk, because everything Jesus said was against the many, many, many rules that the Pharisees were clinging to in order to follow this commandment. But they were missing a bit of the point. They were missing the big picture of what Sabbath is. Sabbath isn't about a lot of rules and regulations and making sure you absolutely do it perfectly. That's not Sabbath. That's not really a gift either. And while we do not struggle at all in the way the Pharisees do in this situation, we have no rules for Sabbath these days, we also have a focus issue. We also miss the mark in what this idea of Sabbath is. Rather than focusing on rules and regulation and making it perfect, I think we have shifted the focus in Sabbath to ourselves. Like when I say this word Sabbath, which I've said a million times this morning, and I'm going to say it a million more times this morning, there's not really a great thesaurus word to go with it. When I say the word Sabbath, I'm sure you're all thinking like, oh yeah, rest. A day like for myself to escape my responsibilities, to leave all my worries behind and just enjoy myself, do some self-care, and that is Sabbath for me. And while, yes, there are elements of that in Sabbath, if we make that the focus, if the whole point of Sabbath is to take a day for me, then really it's just a vacation, isn't it? It's just a day on our own. It's just a day for indulging ourselves. And then we really miss the point of what Sabbath is all about. And we lose a lot of the benefit of what Sabbath is. Sabbath isn't about me, unfortunately. That's been the place I've been struggling with myself with Sabbath. There have been so many duties and responsibilities in my life, I just want to escape them and do my own thing and run away from my issues on a Sabbath. But that's not quite how it works. Sabbath isn't about me, and Sabbath isn't about rules, and Sabbath isn't about doing it perfect. Sabbath is for us, absolutely. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Sabbath isn't for us. Or no, sorry. Sabbath is for us, but it's about Jesus. He says so right in our passage. For the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. This shouldn't come as a huge surprise to you. Those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus know that pretty much everything in our life is about him, right? That's what this all is. A theme you probably picked up in this summer series is that when we start with Jesus, when we make him our foundation, our lives are so much richer. And not like prosperity gospel, four-car garage richer, but a rich, full fulfilledness that brings so much life and joy to us. But even though we as followers of Jesus know this in our heads, that's like Sunday School 101, it can be hard to get that head knowledge into our hearts and spilling over into our lives. We get distracted, don't we? We get busy. We get lied to. We start to think that the things the world offers us can provide that full fulfilledness a lot more than Jesus can. But it can't, and we fall apart. We crash down like those plates. What we need is something, some sort of reminder, some sort of recalibration that takes us back to the truth of Jesus. We need to regularly take a step back from all the distractions in our world and remind ourselves who we're really following and who we're really living for. We need a Sabbath. Sabbath isn't about self-care or self-indulgence. It's about reorienting ourselves to Jesus so we can be filled by his goodness in order to take on whatever he has for us. It's on the screen, so you know it's important. Sabbath is about reorienting ourselves to Jesus so we can be filled by his goodness to take on whatever he has for us out in that wide world. When we neglect these check-ins, when we neglect to reorient ourselves, we can start to forget the wisdom and insight God has given us and just start running with half-remembered ideas. A fun but embarrassing analogy I thought of for this is myself and baking. I am not a baker. Cooking, you can make a mistake and recover from it. Baking, no recovery. It's just a disaster. I don't love reading recipes. It's just so many words for like, I just look at the ingredients and it'll come together. But that leads to problems, as some of you may guess. One time my friend asked me to make some apple muffins or something for a party she was having. So I looked at all the ingredients and saw like, you know, toss it into a bowl or whatever. And so I just started doing that, flour, diced apples, etc. And after a while I'm looking down and I see literally just so many floury diced apples. And so I look back at the recipe. And I realize, apples were supposed to go in much later, after the batter had come together and had cooked a little bit. And long story short, there was no time to start over, so there were no muffins at the party. When we're following Jesus, when we're just living our lives, we need to check in with the recipe. We need to check in with the instructions and the guidance and the incredible knowledge we've been given. We need to continually be reoriented to Jesus so we can keep in stride with his plans and his purposes for us. When we're just glancing occasionally at the recipe, when we're just kind of vaguely checking in, we give the world a chance to fill in those gaps in our memory, and we end up with floury apples and muffinless parties. We need to come back to the source. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want him to be the source of all direction and all purpose in your life, you need to take that time to pause, to check in, and to be filled by his goodness in order to take on whatever he has for you. So as much as I want to emphasize that Sabbath is definitely about Jesus, I don't want to gloss over the fact that it is for us. Jesus says so in our passage. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. God gave us the Sabbath as a beautiful, incredible gift, as a way of resting our bodies, our minds, our souls. We were created for this. We were literally made to have this rhythm of rest in order to function best in the world. That's what God had in mind when he made us. Isn't that crazy? How long have we been running against the maker's instructions? So yes, while I want to make sure we know it's about Jesus, I don't want to neglect the fact that Sabbath is for us, is for our good. We just have to remember who the focus is on. It's a bit like taking care of your car. Now, normally in sermons, the analogy of a car is like, fill your gas tank with Jesus and you can go for miles. That's preaching 101, you know, like, fill up and go. But Sabbath itself is a bit deeper than that. It is checking your engine oil. It's choosing to stop ignoring the wiper fluid light that's been on for a couple weeks. It's tire pressure. It's taking receipts out of your cup holders. It's really caring for your car. My dad's laughing because I'm not the best at this part. But that's what Sabbath is, right? It's that deep care for all the aspects of your vehicle. And sure, like, maybe you'll get to the same destination in the same amount of time as if you had just put gas in the car, but your car's gonna be a lot healthier and run a lot more smoothly if you're paying attention to those details, if you're choosing to feed and nourish those other parts of your car. The car is blessed by all this care, and the car will run smoothly and more easily. But in this whole analogy, it's not really about the car. It's about the needs of the driver. It's not about what the car wants to do. It's about where the driver needs to go. Sabbath is certainly about the well-being of this car, but it's ultimately for the purposes of the driver. Jesus, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. I hope you got that part. So here we are. I hope I've convinced you, or at least given you some stuff to think on about the importance of Sabbath, why we need it, and how to best focus on it. But how on earth are we supposed to practice it? These are all great things, Renee, but what am I actually supposed to do when I go home today? How do I apply this to my life? What even do I do on a Sabbath? Pray more? Is it just a regular day off, but also with a lot more prayer? We don't know, so that's why we want to spend this time talking about it. Number one, make a plan. Actually, okay, even before that number one, I have a list of things because, you know, it's a good sermon when it has bullet points. But before even number one, make a plan, number one is pray. The true number one is talk to God. Invite God, ask God into all your questions and hopes and dreams and frustrations about this idea of Sabbath. Ask him about it. He knows your life. He knows your schedule. He knows what you're good at, what feeds you and fuels you. Talk to God. ask him, how can I make this Sabbath thing work? How can we make this Sabbath thing work together? So that's the true number one. So I don't know, like pre-one, pray and talk to God. No, other number one, make a plan. Nothing happens without a plan. I had a surprise evening off a couple nights ago where I thought I had to do something and then I didn't. And I'm like, oh man, I can do so many things with this evening. But I didn't make a plan. And so I was sitting in an uncomfortable kitchen chair on my phone for 3 hours and then I went to bed. Can you relate? That's not a, without a plan, our free time, our time off can really easily sink to the lowest common denominator and we don't get a lot of rest. Eventually, you probably won't need to plan as much when you're used to this rhythm of Sabbath, but especially when you're getting started, a plan is important. Start your plan by finding a time during the week in which to Sabbath. For many people, Sundays are going to work best based on your work schedules and life schedules. Because I work at a church, my Sabbath is Monday mornings, because that's what works best for me. But look at your calendar. Figure out what works for you. It's important to be as consistent as possible. You don't want your Sabbath to be like Sunday afternoon 1 week, Wednesday the next week, et cetera, et cetera. As much as you can, schedule this into your calendar and keep that sacred. If your Sabbath is Sunday afternoons, you're ready to go right home and start with 24 hours a week of Sabbath, a full 24-hour Sabbath. God be with you. Listen to the Holy Spirit and do what he says. But for most of us, I think that is a really intense way to start this off. You don't want to go for a marathon when you're worried about a 5K. Like you really need, we need to pace ourselves. We need to ease into this idea of Sabbath if it's something we're not used to. I had a friend who started with literally an hour because that is all they could imagine giving of their week to Sabbath. I know someone who like it's 6 to 10, one night a week, because that is the time they had to Sabbath. That one evening a week was their window to be with God. So look at your time. Like I said, I'm Monday mornings right now. I would love to ease up to a larger period of time, but that's where I am in my life right now. And I want to give God at least something, even if it's not the full 24 hours. So make a plan. Find a time and set the hours of it. And I really, if you have to start with an hour, go for it, but I really recommend like a good 4-hour chunk to really get started with Sabbath. Look at your week with your family, with your household, and see where this, not, I don't want to say where this can fit into your schedule, but where you can honestly sacrifice and let things go so that you can come to God in this. So that's make a plan. 2, once you've made a plan, it's the hard part, unplug. Now I know what you're saying, because I say it too, Renee, screens are how I relax, that's how I unwind, that's how I find enjoyment and delight, like just by watching a movie or playing some video games. I get it, I am also there. I love it, I love TV. But I also find that true rest rarely happens when I have a phone in my hand or when I'm watching a few too many episodes of a show. That's not how I am renewed, and I don't think that's how most of us are renewed and restored. So if you can, take a break from this digital world, just for a day, or just for a few hours, or just for however long your Sabbath is. Unplug, disconnect, and allow yourself to focus on God without the distractions of technology. Sometimes for me, that means literally letting my phone die and not charging it, so I don't even have the temptation to check it. Maybe if you are worried about checking in with people, put it in a drawer and commit to checking it every like hour and a half or something just to make sure you haven't missed anything vital. But as much as possible, take a break from technology, from the digital world, from the distractions that the world feeds to us, and have that window to just breathe without it. 3, stop, rest, delight, and worship. These are the 4 elements that many theologians have studied to be the main elements and tenets of Sabbath. And normally this is what I would spend my whole sermon on, is just going point by point through these four things and going into how you can do each of them in your life. But I feel like that would just be information overload for you today. So if you actually look in your message notes, there should be some more details. It's either in the paper you got today or it's also linked online. There's detail into how to go into these elements and incorporate them into your Sabbath more. This is truly like the what of Sabbath. What do I actually do? Stop, rest, delight, and worship. These aren't like a checklist, but it's just a great way to get started and to know what is involved with a Sabbath. This is a really awesome opportunity to practice some of the things we've been learning about this summer, right? If you were listening to Gareth talk about lament, and you think, man, I think I need that, but it's really hard to, you know, cry out to God in the middle of a Tuesday. Take your Sabbath time and just sit with the Lord and say, hey, these are the things on my heart. Help. Or maybe it's a time for solitude or a special worship on your own or any of those things. This is a window where we can Sabbath with God. Spend that time just enjoying his presence in a way we may not on a normal day of the week. In this stop, rest, delight, worship, if Sabbath is something you are really wanting to even dig deeper in, I highly, highly recommend the Practicing the Way podcast. They have four episodes on Sabbath, Practicing the Way, and an episode on each of these four tenets. So if you want to dig deeper, I highly recommend you go check that out. So make a plan, unplug, stop, rest, delight, worship. And then finally, get reoriented with God. If you're feeling scattered and overwhelmed, if you find the days are just zooming by and you don't even know what month it is, you might want to try Sabbath. If you keep coming to church every Sunday, hearing about how God has a plan for your life, but you don't quite get how that plan works in any other day of the week, if you're just confused by what God wants of you and how he wants you to live your life, you might need Sabbath. If you find yourself missing God because you don't talk a lot, or if you find yourself not missing God even though you don't talk a lot, you might want to try Sabbath. The Sabbath is about reorienting ourselves to Jesus, so we can be filled with his goodness and ready to take on whatever he has for us. God knows we aren't superhuman. He knows we can't do it all on our own. We weren't made to. We never were made to. Like Jeff started our series with, Jesus says to us, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. The burden we put on ourselves when we see a summer sermon series on spiritual disciplines, that's a heavy burden, because we think it's about our achievements, our perfection, our accomplishment of every spiritual gift. But it's not. It's his burden. And he walks alongside us, carrying way more than his fair share of the load. When we don't check in, when we don't reorient, when we don't Sabbath, we try to pull ahead and take on more weight than we can bear. So take some time and ask God. As a family, or as a single person, or as a household, or however you are living, take some time. Ask God, where can I begin this rhythm of Sabbath? Because you can Sabbath, but only with the help of the Holy Spirit. And you need Sabbath, and the Holy Spirit's been trying to tell you. Our bodies need it, our minds need it, and boy, do our souls need it. Let's pray. God, we are tired. We are tired physically. We are tired emotionally. We are tired spiritually. Even in August, the time where we should be least tired in the world because we've had our summer and we've had this different pace, we're still just drifting, Lord, trying to figure out how to fit you into our lives and into our rhythms. And how tragic is that, that you're someone who has to fit into what we are already doing? Lord Jesus, help us to start with you. Help us to not work for rest, but work from rest. Work from the place you have made us to meet with you. The time you have made us to just sit in your presence and delight in who you are. We need it. We need it. We need it. We need it. So may you help us to get there. Holy Jesus, I just pray for a divine lightning bolt to a spot in each one of our calendars, that you would just undoubtedly illuminate a place for you and a place for Sabbath in our lives and in our weeks and in our just everything. Be with us, Lord.